From Shaw and Partners, Andrew Kelleher, good morning.
Very good morning, Mike.
Speaking of bleak, the old net migration number gets worse and worse every time we look at it, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does kind of. So it was one of the tailwinds for growth that we sort of enjoyed historically, you know, population growth, basically importing people. And, you know, we've had times in the last couple of years when that number was really high. Stats New Zealand released the information yesterday, so provisional estimates using Stats New Zealand data. We've got that monthly net migration number, which is, you know, is subject to a lot of revisions. It's well below long-term averages. So we tend to look at the annual number. Stats New Zealand reported an annual number of circa 12,000 people plus net migration. Now, the long-term average of that is around just under 50,000, but of course, for a while there, we were running with numbers well into the hundreds, you know, 120, 130,000. Mike, it's really all about the departures. If I look at these numbers, they're very much higher than the long-term averages. The actual arrivals are sort of sitting around those long-term numbers. It's just that we're bleeding New Zealand citizens. And I guess we can really point the finger at the pretty weak local jobs market that's hurting job prospects here, encouraging people to leave. And if we get time, we'll have a quick look at those Aussie employment numbers yesterday, because therein lies some of the reason. August numbers, now the August monthly number was revised upwards. That's actually an encouraging sign, because sometimes the direction of travel of the revisions can tell you a little bit about the potential future direction travel of the actual migration number. If there is a trend, it's of very low growth. The arrival composition has changed a little bit. Arrivals from Philippines and India, they're declining a little bit, and we're seeing a pickup in returning Kiwis and from China as well. Obviously, key parts of the economy that this affects, spending, because there's fewer people, so not as much spending, and demand for housing as well. But the tourism numbers, I think you mentioned that, didn't you? We're entering the busy season now, so these numbers pick up, and so we keep a keen eye on the numbers over the next few months. Up 21,000 from last September, so that trend line. The trend line, if I look at when you dissolve it down to a trend line, it's actually starting to go up. That's quite positive. We're sitting at just under 90% of pre-COVID numbers. What we have seen, Mike, is a big lift in the Aussie visitors. It looks more attractive to them here from a currency point of view. They are now 56% of our visitors. Pre-COVID, they were only 51%, so we've got to thank them for the lift here. And if I look at the total number of arrivals, it's up 200,000 from September 24. So positive numbers there.
Okay, spending glass half full or not?
Oh, this one's funny. I mean, I think I waxed lyrical, didn't I, about the ANZ card spending dump recently. Yesterday, Stats New Zealand released the official numbers, the electronic card transactions for October. They look a little bit softer. The total for the month, 0.2, that's total retail. Core retail was the same, 0.2. Now, if you look at those year on year, plus 0.8, 1.2. So you think about inflation there, these are not very exciting, are they? Total electronic card transactions, if you look at them all, dead flat and falling if you look at them on a year-on-year basis. So not looking very strong at all. Doesn't look as optimistic as the ANZ data. There is growth in consumable spending, but that lift is really down to people buying groceries, which is kind of somewhat necessary, and the growth probably just reflects higher prices for food. Not much evidence here of growth in discretionary spending, and certainly in some of the categories, momentum just seems to have evaporated. Apparel still very soft. Interesting, there doesn't seem to be the same lift in durable spending that we saw in the ANZ data. So, Mike, if I sort of think about the implication for monetary policy, no real evidence yet of lower mortgage rates. So if I put that together, I put the migration numbers together, and you know what I reckon might roll on another 25 basis points from the RBNZ in a couple
easy.
Of weeks.
4.3 was a better number. This is the Australian job reference, so that's where the jobs are, isn't it?
Yeah, my gosh. So their jobs lifted 42,000 in October. Expectations were for 20,000. Unemployment rate 4.5 to 4.3. What's really interesting here, it's all in full-time jobs. Big leap in full-time jobs. So I think 3% could be the bottom for that Aussie cash rate. If you think they've got stubborn inflation, consumer confidence is high, and lots of jobs.
Lay some numbers on me.
Yeah, well, the shutdown finishing hasn't helped the US market. Actually, Tesla and Nvidia getting spanked a bit overnight. The Dow Jones is down 428 points, 47,826. That's down 0.89%. The S&P 500 is down 79 points. That's 1.1%, 6,771. And the NASDAQ is down 1.8%, 400. and 23 points, 22,984. FTSE 100 lost at 1% overnight, 9,807. The Nikkei was up 0.43, 51,281. Shanghai Composite gained about 0.75%, 4,029. The Aussie market lost 0.5% yesterday, 46 points, 8,753 the close. And the NZX 50 lost about 0.5%, 74 points, 13,597. Kiwi dollar, slightly stronger, 0.5673 against the US, 0.8658 Aussie, 0.4870 Euro, 0.4295 against the quid, 87.61 Japanese yen. Gold is trading at $4,203, and Brent crude behaving itself, $63.27.
Yeah, fantastic weekend. Appreciate it. Andrew Kelleher, Shaw and Partners.